Well, I'm glad he kept that promise. Amen. I don't think I'd be here today, or you'd be here today, if you didn't keep that promise. Amen. In this place. And I'm going to go to Proverbs again tonight and just kind of pick up where Pastor left off the last time we were together, and in the book of Proverbs. And so if you'll turn to that chapter 11 in the book of Proverbs, I'll be down front in just a minute. See how this thing works here. I never could get it right, so I don't know. I always wear a lapel mic, huh? Then I run around, and this keeps me fixed in a place, in a sure place. Amen. That's in the book. All right, Proverbs chapter number 10, 11 there. Wanted to pick up where we were at last time. If I marked it right, he was in verse number 18. But just in a little bit of review, if you do your daily proverb, if you're like me, I want to be wise. Amen. So if I'm going to be wise, I need to be in the book of wisdom, and I need to do that every day. And talked a little bit about that on Sunday night, about just the, you know, maybe you never looked at it that way of being, you know, so many times we think about our works and what we do with our hands and what we do with our feet, what we do with our mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. But so many times we don't think about our devotional time and our time spent with the Lord as something as being something that's a work as well. It's something that we're doing for Him. Yes, it benefits us, but I would say the same thing for soul winning. When I get to go out and cut and chop wood for the Lord, whatever it is we're doing at camp, I get exercise out of it. So I benefit, and the Lord benefits. And so we could look at all the different works. But chapter 10, if we could look back just a little bit, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but I just want you to see, not that every verse or everything rolls and is, you know, just perfectly falling together when you go through the book of Proverbs, but we can see that there's some theme in chapter 10 that is about work. And I don't want to take too much time to do review, but I just want you to see it, if you would, look back with me, and then how he pushes into this. This is in the beginning of the chapter, verse number 1, we see a father writing to his son in this book. And again, so many times we can see that in our own lives as a son. And my dad tried to instill some things in me, not only work ethic, but he wanted me to be wise. He wanted me to have some discernment. I can remember, I think I've told the story here before, but I remember my dad, I was young. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember the regret and the look on my father's face. He had a shop, and he had his own truck business type thing, and he had taken a big nut off of one of the trucks, and I mean, it was huge. It had to be, to a little boy, it looked like it was like a, you know, a great big basketball size thing, but he had it in a pair of channel locks. And if you don't know what that is, you can look that up on your phone after the service. But he had a pair of channel locks, and he had that nut, and he had ground off the sides where he had kind of, when he tried to get it off, he kind of boogered the corners all up. Man, I don't know if that's good English, but anyway, he had knocked the corners off of it. And so he was trying to straighten that back up so the corners weren't rounded anymore. And that thing was glowing. I mean, he had had that thing on the grinder, and it was glowing red. Well, I was a young man, and I had seen some things on the stove, but I had no idea. You know, I just didn't know that thing was super hot like that. And he said, my dad said, "Here, take that from me, boy." And he was kidding around, and he was joking. But that's my dad, man. I snatched that thing out of them pliers, and it put a hex head bolt in the middle of my hand. I mean, I wore that print for a long time. And as soon as I took it from him, he started smacking my hand and said, "Drop that, what are you doing? You're silly." And he called me a couple other names. But anyway, and he knocked it out of my hand, and then he was trying to get my hand underwater, and he loved me. And you know, he was broken that I had taken that from him, but he realized the literalness of me following exactly what he said and wanting to follow and make him happy. And at the same time, I learned that sometimes everything wasn't exactly literal. Now, when we deal with the Bible, a lot of times God's going to be literal with us unless he says he's not. He's gonna tell us if it's something different. He's going to give us a what if. And so sometimes but even for myself, I've learned some discernment for some of those things, the things that I ought to stay away from, things that I ought not do. I mean, I've told stories and stories, but here in that first verse of chapter 10, he says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." I can say this, and again, I have children, I have sons of my own, and I want my children to be wise. I want them to make wise decisions. I want them to be wise with their money. I want them to be wise with their time. I want them to be wise with the choices that they make in their lives. I want them to make choices that are pleasing unto the Lord and head in a direction that not only pleases me as an earthly father, but their heavenly father as well. And I want to see that I bestowed some of those things in them. I want to see that I passed on some of my own discernment that I got from God's word and from my own earthly father. And so again, as we see the book, this is a father constantly writing to his son. He's being given. And I, if I could say it like this, I don't know that many of you know I've had a lot of responsibility around the ministry. But again, the shouldering the load of the pastor and even some of the cares of the people and things, it's a whole different level, if I could say it that way. And it's just a whole nother leveling up of responsibility and things that go on in our ministry. And I would just say the spiritual battle that is fought day to day in this place. And so understanding that and doing that, I understand here where this father, this one who's king of all Israel, he has so many responsibilities. And he's writing to a son that needs to be ready for those things when he steps up into that place. He needs to have discernment. He needs to be wise when he makes decisions. And so if you could put the book in that perspective for yourself, you realize how the writer of the book, under the inspiration of God, he is getting God's wisdom, but he's very serious as he writes to his son. But he writes in chapter 10, and again, today, this was today's proverb, and if you look through it, maybe it would be familiar for you. But in verse 4, he talks about a work ethic. In verse 4, he says, there, if I can get my eyes right. All right, here we go. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So he's dealing with just work ethic. Verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. So just in those two verses, we see that there's already some things when we deal with work. And I would say this applies to everything. I grew up in an area that was mostly rural, very farm towns, and the work that you received, at least for my sake, when I was a young man, wasn't Burger King or McDonald's. Not that any of those are not good. It's just where I was from, it was picking tomatoes, it was throwing watermelons, it was throwing hay, it was all the stuff that you did on the farm. And so I grew up with a lot of those things, but here he gives us that farming terminology, and he's talking about he that dealeth with a slack hand. And again, that idea, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Again, if you deal with in farming terminology, if you know anything about somebody, if you start out farming, a lot of times if you're picking in the field, you make more money the more you pick. All right, you the more bushels that you pick that day, the better off you are, the richer you are. Not, you know, if I'm going to make an hourly wage, and no matter how long I'm there, no matter how much I get done today, I'm still going to make the same money. And somehow, and I mean, again, in America, I'm not against that or anything else like that. I just am saying that, you know, we used to have this same biblical principle. And in farming, we can really see that biblical principle lived out. We're not just going in to put in time. We're going in to make a difference, to change some things, to move us from point A to point B, no matter what your job is, whether that's trucking things down the road, getting it from point A to point B, or whether it's getting the harvest out of the field and into the barn. No matter what that different thing is, if you're dealing with a slack hand, you're not going to get nearly as much done. As a boy, I remember all the time when we got hay or straw out of the field, it was always trying to beat the rain. You had to cut it, you had to bale it, and you had to turn it over before you baled it so that it was dry. And usually, by the time you could get it good and dry, there was a rainstorm coming on the back. I mean, it was coming behind you all the time. And so by the time it was right and it needed to be put up, there was another rain on its way. And so you had to stay until it was done. You got it on the wagons and you got them undercover so that you could get it put up. And again, there wasn't any time, oh, well, yeah, it's quitting time. Whoop, the whistle blows. It's time to keep on going because you want to get it in. And so, again, with so many things in this life, the work ethic is important. But he goes on in verse 16, if you look at it, he says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. This is the reason I went back to chapter 10. I really wanted to be able to use this as we go. And in chapter 11, he's going to use this word tendeth. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just want you to make sure you see how it transfers in and how the mindset or the Holy Spirit's bringing this to Solomon's mind as he's writing more and more. And the translators use this word tendeth. That word tendeth is in italics in your King James Bible, and it's going to show up twice between righteous and the life. He's going to say in verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is sin. Again, in this idea there, that there is labor for the righteous. Work is not a bad thing. Work is not a dirty four-letter word. It's a good thing. It's something God intended for us to do, to labor. And again, it's good for us to labor. It's good for us. And I'm not talking about, it doesn't say there manual labor before that. It's again, if you look up work, if we could go to the 1828 dictionary, and I didn't get to give that on the other Sunday night, but again, that the definition there is going to be turning of the page. The simplest dictionary of work is the turning of the page. And that means a lot when you dial that all the way down to your own personal devotions and what you're doing. So again, there any type of work or anything that you're doing, there's so many different ways of work, so many different things that are honorable. But again, there's work ethic that we see. But here, the righteous have a different type of work. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Has it ever occurred to you that so many times that there are so many things that you could do with your life? There are so many things that you could do in everyday life that you could work and be, and I'll say it like this, make an honest living. When I was growing up in the local church, there was a lot more preaching about making an honest living than there is today. There are some things that when I grew up, my preacher would preach against doing. I mean, I'm not looking to offend anybody, and I'm not preaching against it necessarily. I'm just trying to take you down the road again to remember that, I mean, when I grew up, things weren't open on Sunday. We live in a different world than when I grew up as a boy. When I grew up as a boy, you couldn't just go out to eat. There wasn't anything open. The only thing that when I was a boy that was allowed to be open was a pharmacy, so people could get things that they needed in case the day was there. And again, even that had just come to pass. That had just been, everything was shut down on Sunday because it was the Lord's day, and they wanted you to be in church. And now we live in a country and in a world where none of those things are sacred anymore. There's no, and again, people have to work, and they have to be at those things if they're going to keep their jobs so many times. But again, it used to be growing up that there were some things that were, if I could say it that way, that you didn't go do those things. You didn't do those things because those weren't honorable things. And when we talk about what tendeth to life, think about so many of us. Every one of us, there's things that you need. One of the things as a plumber, when I trained to be plumbing, I thought, people are always going to need water in their house. They're always going to need the bathroom to work the way it ought to. All these things, they're not going to do without some of these things. These are essential to life. And so a lot of times people, they get after those things. And there are. We live in a day and age now where so much of people's work is dialed into entertainment. So many people are invested, their life is invested in some type of thing that people, if money got tight, they could do without that. All right. And again, so even as a believer, one of the things that we ought to look at the scripture and see that one of the things that the Bible really kind of gives us that idea that would be important for us is we should focus our life and our life work as righteous people. We should be doing something that is going to be a purposeful thing for life. This isn't talking about eternal life. I think that no matter what you spend your day doing, you ought to be a witness for Christ, both in your work ethic, the way you work, how you work, what you say, what you do. But no matter what you spend your day doing, it ought to be a testament to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody gives you an opportunity to witness for him, then take that opportunity. But your boss is paying you to work, not to witness. And so you ought to be a worker while he's paying you. On your lunch break, be a witness. Amen. And that's old time preaching too. I don't know. And again, I know that most of us think about that. Man, there's no bad time to witness. But if someone else is paying you to do something that they asked you to do, that's not the time to take time to witness. And again, even when you're working, I've had to do that before where I said, hey, when we take lunch or when we take break, I'd like to show you some things in the Bible. I'd like to take time to do that. And you say, well, the Spirit won't move off. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to honor your business, your boss, anybody that you're about. But here, as we go to chapter 11, he begins it. And again, it's not changing gears, but a lot of what's going to happen in everyday life, one of the things that's going to balance, when we, pastor, talked about this, I'm not going to spend too much time here, but a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. When you're dealing with farming type things, again, or money or anything, anything you brought into there, you're going to, in an area of custom, you're going to come in there and they're going to weigh it out. They're going to weigh out, you know, whether you, again, for me, string beans, you know, how heavy are them, corn. They're going to weigh your truck in to see how many bushels of corn you got. And again, this is going to work in most of it. We don't all, our jobs as the country has grown have moved so far from the small farm or even the big farm of yesteryear, but the Bible is going to bring it back home to all those things. And so a just weight, you or I the same way. We want to have a day's pay for a day's worth of work is what they used to say about it. But here, this false balance, we don't want to have a false balance. And again, we could talk about all the things that are out there, and if I could say it this way, a false balance of gas prices. We could balance it so many things in the world today of what we think it all, what it could be, and what people manipulate things to be in this life that we live today. But this false balance is something that is dealing with their hands, the work of their hands coming out of the fields. What they were going to make was going to be determined. If someone was cheating them and they changed the weights or made it so that it seemed like it was lighter than it should have been, they were stealing from these folks and stealing their livelihood. And so, and again, so he deals with this and he gives us some good things at the beginning of it. He talks about pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. He tells us that, you know, it doesn't say that you're going to be prideful, that you're going to have pride, but he does use this term, when pride cometh. You know, sometimes some of us think that we've grown past that as Christians, that we could grow past being prideful. And that hurts us, folks. A wise person looks himself in the mirror every day and takes a good evaluation of exactly where he is. Because just because I was right with God yesterday doesn't mean I'm right with God today. Just because I had conquered that old man of sin, that lustful, fleshly man yesterday, doesn't mean I'm on top of him today. And I need to, again, go to that place and make sure that this man isn't judging and making his discernment of things that are around him and what people say, that I'm not discerning off of a prideful heart, but I'm meek and lowly. That's what the Lord Jesus says. If I'm going to take my yoke upon me, if I'm going to spend my day in the plow, in plowing the field with the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to have to take that prideful man and put him away, and I got to slip into the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got to plow again today. Not thinking that I'm proud for, or I'm above everybody else, or I'm somebody. I got to make sure that I put myself back in order. I'm just a servant. Amen. I'm privileged to serve the Savior. Amen. I am. What a blessing it is to be saved and on my way to heaven. And if you work for the Landmark Baptist Church, you get to say, I work for the greatest church on planet Earth. Amen. And I'm just telling you, I mean, so many times we could put it in all those perspectives. We could look at it all different ways. We could think it's, man, they're a privilege to have me. But that'll hurt us through the day, won't it? I don't know which end of the spectrum you think that is, but I'm going to mark that one down on the prideful end of the thing. I've been here so long, I shouldn't have to do this. Amen. I've never heard that come out of Pastor Carter's mouth, not once. I did hear him say, we were climbing on top of the roof, and we were doing the ruse again, if I could say it that way, on the tower after the last hurricane. And he got up there, and I followed him up to make sure if anything happened, I was there to really just break his fall. Anyway, so, amen. And he got up, and he made it okay, and I had a bunch of tools, and I had a tool bag on me, and I just, going onto the roof, I caught my foot as I went over the top of the thing, and I mean, I went down like a ton of bricks. I mean, I didn't even get up at first. I just laid there. Everybody saw it. There was no need to bounce up and, like, you know, nothing happened. I just laid there. And he goes, That's supposed to be me, not you, Barry. Get up. And, you know, like, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to be falling. And I was like, amen. You know, so I went on to work. Amen. But he deals with all these different things. And then he talks about our integrity. When we put our pride away and when we deal with that lowly, that mind that we ought to have and serving the Lord with the right mindset, that man, it's a privilege to serve God today and in this place and what he's called me to do. Then all of a sudden now I want to serve him in my integrity. Every day we have to make choices, every one of us, no matter what your job is and no matter what it is, there are going to be times that you're going to have to make what I would consider a biblical call. Whether this is right or whether this is wrong. Whether this is, and again, I would even put it this way, this book deals so much with how you deal with people. So again, I mean, the Bible talks about how I'm not supposed to withhold that which is good from someone who, again, deserves it. So as I deal with people, I want to make sure this is dealing with that idea of integrity. Not that, you know, whether a person earned it or not when I weigh in on them. But again, is this what, from my perspective, and I know this is kind of generic, but again, if I'm going to weigh in on my integrity, what would Jesus do if he was here today? How would he make this decision? Would he look on this person with mercy and grace, or would he deal with them in judgment? Every time I want to come to the plate. I want to step up, not in my own decisions or in my own righteousness, but in integrity. I want to step up there where they can see clearly that this is not, again, for all the word integrity means for purity. It means purity. It means genuine. Unimputed is the third word that goes there. That just means there's nobody else outside. I'm not weighing in on this subject. My righteousness, my integrity is weighing in on this. Not what I want to see, the way I want to see it go. One of the hardest things I think as a leader, if I could say it like this, is when you're dealing with people sometimes, especially as a college president, and again, I don't have a lot of experience as a pastor, as most of you know, to make that. But again, I've, as an assistant pastor, make that decision of, a lot of times people come to me and ask me, should I do this? Or people will call our college and ask for a reference for someone. And sometimes we may reference someone who is on staff here, not because we want to get rid of them, but because out of integrity, I feel the Lord is leading me to give that person's name to somebody. And it'd be terrible if I kept that name to myself. It'd be terrible if I said to myself, you know, I need that person. What a hole that would leave. If I felt the Holy Spirit saying, this is the person's name you ought to give. You say, well, Brother Parsons, you'd tear things apart. Or some college student that I know is really good and I'd like to hire him up, but I need to give a name out to somebody. I want to give that name. I want to give that name in integrity and let the Lord have his will and way. Because if it's his will, they'll be here when it comes time. And if it's not his will, then they'll be there if they follow his will. And so you say, Brother Parsons, all those things, we'll come all the way down. We'll kind of skip through some of that. But the work ethic, the integrity, not having a false balance like the world has. And then we get to verse number 18, where the brand new verse where Pastor left off, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Now, if you balance the two chapters and you understand the work ethic and you understand that when I'm making judgment calls in, I keep a right balance, I'm trying to put pride aside and I have this mindset that for me, I want to be in the plow with Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to know which way he turns. I want to know how he weighs in on it. I want to make a decision in integrity. And so now when I come to a place when, as a person here, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, there shall be a sure reward. Every one of us folks have been in Christian life any amount of time. We're working not just for this side of heaven, but we're working for sure rewards, promises, as what was sung earlier tonight. Amen. That God has promised for the believer that serves him and lives for him and makes the right choice. And so I want to earn some sure rewards in this life for serving the Lord. And I want to do that. The way I'm going to do it is not doing it. And I could, again, motives matter. That's been preached here before, and I can say it for sure, that in this life, just because I serve the Lord doesn't mean I'm going to get a sure reward for that. Motive will be weighed in on that. When my reward is piled up in front of me, the Bible says it's going to be judged by fire. So that means the Lord's going to test what I did, whether I did it in my integrity, with a true balance, not a false balance, whether I did it in pride so that people could see me, or whether I did it with a meek and lowly spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to that place of reward, there'll be those things there, but when it's tried by fire, what's going to stay? How much of it was wood, hay, and stubble? And how much of it was truly precious stones and gold and silver and the things that should be there? And he says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Do you know that sometimes we don't always see that? Sometimes people in their cunningness as they work and they do things around us, sometimes they're trying to work their own angle. They're working with a false balance. They're working with no integrity. They're trying to climb one more rung. They're trying to do something that gets them a little bit of credit. What's going to get me this thing? And again, not with that meekness. And I know it sounds like we're beating a dead horse here, but again, I do believe this. If I've spent my whole life working for the Lord Jesus, and then I got home to heaven, and it sounded like somebody taught me that it didn't matter what I did in this life, that I was going to get reward for it, or how I did it, or how I went about it, or what my motive was, that's a sad commentary on someone's life when they get there and they realize all of it was wood, hay, and stubble. Because they didn't take and study the Bible the way they had, or have a preacher that told them the truth about how these sure rewards are going to come. This sure reward is not for the wicked, but for the righteous. One that has sowed in righteousness. You know, we believe that we will reap what we sow. So when I sow things that I want to receive rewards for, I must sow it in righteousness. And even here he says, as righteous tendeth to life. Again, the purpose of my life. What am I spending my life doing? I believe this. I hope that you understand this, and I'll make sure that I'll make the statement so everyone that maybe doesn't know me personally, I'll say this. This church operates. Not everybody can work for the church. There's a bunch of people that come here that work a job every day that is honorable, and I thank God for them. They put in hard day's work, and they tithe off that money, and they thank God for a good church that they can come to and as a reprieve from the world and be there and be taught the good word of God, and they thank God for a place like this. And listen, that's just as honorable as the people that spend their day here, that God called to be here. And I thank God for that. It's just, you say, well, Brother Parsons, you know, what about, you know, shouldn't everybody work for the church? I don't believe that. I don't believe God calls everybody to preach. I don't believe God calls everybody to teach. I don't believe God calls everybody to be a maintenance man. Amen. I don't believe God calls everybody. There's so many different things that are all over the property, and I don't want to miss anybody, but I'm just saying everybody has, this is a body fitly framed. Not everybody's the fingers. Not everybody's the hands, not everybody's the arms, not everybody's the feet. And so it takes all those key pieces of the body of Christ working together for it to be a strong, healthy body for the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of them not walking with a false balance, not in pride, not in outside of their integrity. Then he works through some things here, and quickly, as we look towards end, he says, as that tendeth to life. I believe every one of us that work each day and they tend to their everyday life, tending, that tending is a very good reference, if you would, that the King James translators threw that in there so that we understand. Do you know the reference here is more shepherd, tending the sheep. All right, watching over whatever it is that you do for your livelihood or for this life. For me, I'm the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church now, and I have a lot to tend after in that, but that doesn't negate. Last night, late at night, I was trying to put in a dishwasher because my wife's dishwasher went out, and that's part of my life, folks. Amen? And if I don't get that done, it's, you know, Amen. There's things in this life we got to take care of. Our families, my children don't need me to always be that person that is preaching, but sometimes they need a hug from dad. Sometimes they need me to ask them, what'd you get on your homework and on your test? They need all those pieces. And so as we in righteousness tend to life, we need to seek the Lord in all these things. And he's going to lay out some things. But there's a whole group of people that pursueth evil. I believe it's easy for us to say in our day and age. I think we have a group of people that got in the White House that are spending their time pursuing evil. Just writing executive order and executive order. They're trying to write executive orders to override this book. Okay? But they can't override this book. All right? Nothing that they write in Washington will ever negate the truth in the Word of God. And we have to deal in our integrity in that way. And so as we look at and see people that pursue evil, we have to look back and realize it may seem like they're on top for a time, but they're pursuing evil. And again, the Bible says they pursue it to his own death, the person that does that. And we know that. We know where the lost man is going to spend eternity. He says in verse 20, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. This idea here, froward, the word froward in the 1828 dictionary, the word itself, it just means it's really a balance of rebellion. It's someone who wants to go outside of what he knows is truth, or he wants to rebel against truth, and he's got a froward heart. He's got one that does not want to be obedient to God's word. He does not want to follow the things that he knows or has been taught to be right. And this person it's an abomination. That word abomination, I mean, it's pretty much a stamp. Every time you see it, something God hates. I mean, he's against it. He hates this thing. And so God does. I mean, it's easy enough to look through his word and realize God hates rebellion in every form that it comes out of. All right? He hates it when somebody stands up and when he wants them to do right. Look at the rest of the verse. To the Lord. He says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. God has a will and a way for our lives. And if we follow his direction, then God is pleased with our lives. God is happy with what's going on. But when we get outside of his way and we're rebellious, just like my children, when I know what they're supposed to be doing, I've set their path and their direction for a day. Maybe it's go clean your room. If they rebel against that and they go a different way, I don't like that. I really don't like that. And I get upset. And I don't just, do what you want. That's not the kind of God I serve. If I'm his child, he's going to get after me because he realizes it's not good for me to be let go. I'm in rebellion. He wants to turn me back into his way. I remember when I was a little boy and I remember my dad saying, go do this. And when I started heading the wrong way, he would grab me by the top of my head and turn me in the direction he wanted me to go. And I'd go, and I would get headed in the right direction. And so many times we think about when God is dealing with us and it feels like maybe God is jerking us around in this life or he grabs us by the top of our head and steers us in the direction he wants us to go. Sometimes if we're not careful and we got a right balance and we're working with a lowly heart, amen, and we have that right spirit and in our integrity, we go, all right, Lord. You know, somebody that had to get that right was Jonah. Jonah was somebody that paid both ways, and he paid more on the way back than he did to get out of God's will. He paid the fare thereof, but he had no idea what he was going to pay to get back into God's will. He had no idea when he got thrown overboard to get back in God's will. And listen, it took him a long time. I want to tell you right now, there's not too many people that had to get all the way down in the whale's belly on the bottom. And the terminology in the Bible isn't down there under the mountains. He's down there. He had to go pretty low before he said, all right, God, you're God. I'll follow you. All right, God, I'll pay the vows that I've told you that I would pay. I just have always been one of those folks. And again, I want to urge young people, middle-aged people, old people, it don't matter where you are, you know, you're not past the point of God's direction in your life and what he wants for you. And the worst thing for us is to get outside of God's will, to make God upset with us. Because don't think that you're past the point of God grabbing you by the top of your head and turning you in the way he wants you to go. And again, trying to work on your heart and get you right with him. So many times in this life, you know, we miss. I wonder in this life, and again, I've not tried to go against God's will so many times in my life that I could marker down all these things on a calendar, but I could say this, how many rewards in this life, I wonder when I get to heaven, how many of them because I was pursuing my own will while I was trying to do God's will. I wasn't necessarily, I had one foot outside of his will and one foot in. I wonder how much of that is truly going to be the reward that I want to see it to be and the one that's going to burn up when I get to heaven. God wants us to be all in, folks. He doesn't want us to be wishy-washy, in and out, wondering what God's will is. He wants us to make it plain. And again, so many times, if we would just throw out the false weights. You know, sometimes we measure people not by this book or by what God says. We have our own measuring stick of what we think is right. And sometimes it's the one thing we do well, and they don't. And we measure them by it. Let me see how you measure up. All right. And again, there's all kinds of standards that we can measure people by, but it really, we need to be in God's book. We need to measure with God's word. When God tells us to give mercy, we ought to give mercy. We ought to make this decision. Then he comes all the way down and in pride, boy, I wonder how many times, you know, nobody's going to stand before the face of Jesus Christ and try to make excuse for their pride in this life. Not one. I don't think we're going to hear some weeping of how long sometimes we held on to it, but we're not going to hear anybody going, but you don't understand, Lord. If you had just been there, you'd have, no, we're not going to hear that. And then integrity. We live in a day and age where integrity is hard to find. A business that has integrity will be busy because people can trust it. People that have integrity won't be out of a job very long. They'll find somebody that realizes that they have integrity. I wanted to read this poem that I found, and it helped me. It kind of encouraged me about reward and kind of we'll be done tonight. But the title is Rewards, and he says, if everything I do each day were written in a book, if everything I could see how that day's page would look, I feel that on each day, each passing day, my record would improve. Thoughtless deeds, my thoughtful deeds I'd refine. All dross I would remove. Oh, help me, Lord, to not forget my record at thy throne, and that my every thought and deed each day to thee is known. Dwell thou within my heart, I pray, from dawn till setting sun, that when my record is reviewed, I may hear thy will done. I often think so many times, if we could just take the poem and think to ourselves, if everything that we did was recorded, because it is. Every thought, every deed, every intent of the heart were penned down, and then we could read it at the end of the day. How much we would go back and we would want to refine that day and make tomorrow better. And the blessing of the Word of God is being in the Word of God. The Bible gives us that mirror of our true self. It's not a false balance, folks. When we come to the Word of God, it doesn't show us who we think we are. It shows us who we really are. The indwelling Holy Spirit convicts our heart and tells us the areas that we need to get right with him. When I get worried about me is when I'm spending my days looking at what's wrong with everybody else. When I spend a day and I've got a counted list of these are things everyone else needs to get right. Because I got a list and you got a list. And that's the list I need to be working on. That's the one that's going to count on high, because I'm not going to give an account for you. I'm going to give account for me. I'll give an account how I pastored you, the truth that I gave you, the love that I gave you, the mercy that I shew, the judgment. But each one of you, you're going to give account for yourself before God. And man, I want that to be the greatest one. I want it to be one that, man, you're proud of. I want it to be one that at the end, not only for me, but for everybody at the Landmark Baptist Church that's here tonight, I want to hear for you, well done, my good and faithful servant. This isn't some ladder that you climb. And if I could just get one rung higher than you on the ladder, you know, I'm going to get a better well done than you are. No, folks, we're all running our own race, looking for our own well done. And again, the best way for us to do that is a body of Christ, all of us, be the fitly framed piece of the body that we ought to be and living for Christ. Amen. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the wisdom that we find in it. God, I pray that you'd help us to be wiser tonight because of what we found in your word. God, help us to seek to look in your word and let it point out the things that we need to grow and the things that we need to, God, we need to throw away and the things that we need to put on. God, help us to remember the things that are in the word. Help us to live it out for the rest of this week and for the time that we have to spend in this life. We pray, God, as we think of Sunday coming and all that will take place, help us to be soul winners. Help us to be witnesses for you. Help us to invite people to the Landmark Baptist Church. Help us to have folks that will walk the aisle and be saved. Help us to have people that will be baptized. God, help them to be rewards to the accounts of the folks that are in this room because how they live. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.